All right. I'm thankful for Brother Chim. He's been a blessing in our church. Started coming when you were in grade school, I think, right? Seventh grade. And now he's the principal of the school. So see how that works out. And he's doing a great job. One of our, all of our staff members are tremendous. And I'm very, very thankful for him and his faithfulness. And he is going to come and preach for us tonight. So Brother Chim, why don't you come?
Please turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4. Brother Oscar, I don't want to break this thing again, so I just pull it out. Yes. All right, here he goes. Oh, I don't believe you, brother. Are you telling me the truth? Wait. Oh, I thought you said I don't have to push a button. Okay. Oh, there you go. All right, sorry for that commercial break. Ephesians chapter 4. I'm going to get right into it here. Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to read verses 11 through 16. Ephesians 4, 11 through 16. Would you mind standing with me, please, as we read God's word? Ephesians 4, 11 through 16. You can read silently with me as I read. The Bible says, "And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love." And let me go ahead and pray for us tonight. Father, thank you so much for the opportunity that I have to represent you, to stand behind this pulpit and preach. I really do pray, Lord, that tonight will be beneficial. My desire is not just to occupy time. We don't have time for that. We've come to grow closer to you, and I pray, Lord, that I could be part of that, that you would utilize me to be a blessing in some way. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. God gives leaders to the local church to help families to grow spiritually and to help us to serve others. As we as families mature, we become more like Christ, staying strong in our faith and not being led away by every wind of doctrine. You know, one of the greatest gifts, I think we can all agree about this, one of the greatest blessings or gifts of the local church is that we get the privilege to access the many spiritual resources of Pacific Baptist Church. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful for all the spiritual resources. As a 13-year-old coming to church here, I'm thankful that I had a youth pastor, a Sunday school teacher, a pastor, a coach, people that invested in me to allow me to get to where I am today by God's grace. What a blessing it is to be a member of a local church. Some people try to be nomad Christians. What a shame. There is no nomad Christian here. I'm a product of everybody that invested in me through the local church. Also, one of the greatest gifts God has given us is our children. And by the way, let me say this. We've got to believe that within our heart. Because if you believe that your children are a gift from God, you're going to treat them differently. If you believe that your children are from the Lord, as the Bible says in one of those verses, "Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord." If I believe that five of my children, they are a gift from God, I'm going to be careful what I watch on TV. I'm going to be careful what I put on the radio. I'm going to be careful what I say about other people, especially the leaders and teachers of my children. Got to be careful. Our children are a gift from God. With this gift comes a tremendous responsibility to love, lead, and care for them in the Lord. Man, think about that. As a parent, it is my responsibility to love, lead them, and care for them because they are a gift from God. Raising a godly family is not something we can do alone. We're going to need a lot of help. We're going to need help. A godly family is a family that loves and follows the Lord, lives by his word, and seeks to honor him in their home and all their relationships. My goal, very clearly tonight, is to have a godly family. That's my goal. My goal is to raise my five children in a very godly manner. My goal is to have a godly marriage. And by the way, I'm unapologetic about that. Because that is my goal, I'm not just going to watch junk on TV. Because that is my goal, I'm not just going to allow arguments to fester in my home. Because godliness is my goal, church is not going to be an option. Ministry is not going to be an option. Tithing is not going to be an option. I'll throw this one in there because pastor's here. Parking at the blue line is not going to be an option. Listen, at the end of the day, because godliness is the goal of my family, of my goal for my family, I've got to be committed. I got to live wholehearted for the Lord. We cannot do it alone. We need help to tackle this great endeavor of parenting. Here it is. We could all use a village. We could all use a village. God equipped the church to help our families grow spiritually and to help us to raise godly families so that our faith doesn't stop with us, but instead it perpetuates. It continues on to the next generation. See, God wants my family, not Christianity to stop with my family. He wants it to continue. And because God wants my faith to continue, I've got to train my kids so it can continue. I can't let it die with me. I've got to have a real personal walk with God so they can see true love for the Lord. And by the way, if that's the case, by God's grace, it's going to continue with them. If raising a godly family is too great a task to do alone, and I believe that it is, how can we make sure our church, the village God has given to us, is helping our families to grow spiritually so that our faith continues or perpetuates to the next generation. There's a phrase I heard as a teen that stuck with me until now as a 42-year-old, okay? Turning 43 in a couple months. The phrase is, ready for this? It takes a village. It takes a village. It takes a village is a phrase that is commonly used to show that though we as parents have the main responsibility, and we are the ones with the main responsibility, to raise our children for the Lord, we can't do it alone. We can't do it alone. Tonight's message is entitled, Our Village Church. Our Village Church. Lester Roloff said, a Christian without a church is like a soldier without an army, a child without a family, or a sheep without a fold. We need our village church for so many aspects in life. Ministry, marriage. I need the church. I need pastors preaching to remind me, to help me to see that I'm a knucklehead sometimes as a husband. And I need to get that right so I can be a better husband for Leslie. So I can be a better father for my children. So I can be a better Sunday school teacher, a ministry worker. I need the local church for so many areas in my life. But one area that I need the local church is as a parent. As a parent. See, when pastor mentions things that I've never thought about, or I fail to see the way that I should, it's for my benefit. It's for my own good. I'm sorry, let me not stop there. It's for CJ's benefit. It's for Audrey's benefit. It's for Andy's benefit. When pastor talks about cell phones and teenagers, it's for my benefit. It's for their benefit. It's so that I can see what could possibly lie ahead. Some danger that'll trap me and my family, my children, if I am not prudent. Praise the Lord for the village that we have here in our church. Amen. We need our village church for so many aspects of life, as I mentioned. But tonight I want to focus on child rearing. We need our church to help us with our child rearing. You know, one reason why I love talking about child rearing is because I get the privilege to be paid while I'm at work to study a topic that's going to benefit me. Did you hear that? Let me say it one more time. I get paid while I'm at work behind my doors when I'm not interrupted with things to be able to study on a topic that's going to directly benefit Charlie Chim's family. Amen. That's pretty good to me. Amen. Praise the Lord for that next year. The only place success is mentioned in the whole Bible is Joshua 1:8. Can you do me a favor? Can you turn to Joshua 1:8? Joshua 1:8, please. Joshua chapter 1 in verse number 8. The only place that the word success is mentioned in the whole Bible is right here. Joshua chapter 1 verse number 8. The Bible says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good what? Success. Now, I don't know about you, but I want success. And not only do I want success, I want good success. Not only do I want good success, but especially when it comes to my family. You see, one thing I've learned is that children are a lot more important than we give them credit for. So let me say this. Because children, when they don't live right with the Lord and they cause problems in the home, your marriage is under attack. Your walk with God is under attack. There's not a lot of harming. That's why it's worth it to take the time to learn about child rearing. It's worth it to take the time to teach your children to behave, to teach them disciplines. Why? Because they may cause havoc in your marriage. They may cause havoc in your home. You may not want to go to church because you're embarrassed all of a sudden now. Train them correctly. Train them correctly. And by the way, I started taking note of child rearing when I was a teenager. People thought I was weird. But let me tell you, I didn't want to wait until my kids were 13 years old before I cared. I wanted to be ahead of the game. Next year, if we plan to have that good success that Joshua 1:8 talks about in our child rearing, we're going to need to get in the Bible to do it God's way. God's way, not my way. Unfortunately, many parents shoot from the hip. They are directionless. But as Christians and members of Pacific Baptist Church, we get access to the Pacific Baptist Church Village. Praise the Lord for that. You know, you've got Brother Ross. You've got youth workers. Man, I'm so thankful. My kids are in youth group now. It is a blessing. And by the way, Seth and Kristen, others, they are a blessing to me. And I get access to them because I'm in this village. I'm thankful for that. Oscar and Seth and others are being with Anna. They're being with my kids during the bus routes. That's a benefit to me. That's a lot better than a Costco membership. Now, gas is pretty cheap at Costco, so I can't argue about that too much. Praise the Lord for that. Next year, without help from our church family, we're at a serious disadvantage. Serious disadvantage. Parents who make church, here you go, remember this please. Parents who make church optional shouldn't be surprised when their children make God unnecessary. One more time. Parents who make church optional shouldn't be surprised when their children make God unnecessary. By the way, let me say this. I have learned in 13 years of being a parent, my fire for the Lord or my lack thereof directly affects my kids. And I've also learned this. Are you ready for this? Your fire and your lack thereof directly affects your kids. It directly affects your kids. When church is optional for you because we have a storm out there, be careful. It's a lot more than just a Thursday night off. I'm talking through the live stream. It's a lot more than just a night off for you to be able to do whatever. Your kids will be affected. Your kids will be affected. I probably won't be liked very much. That's okay. As parents, we need to provide basic needs such as food, water, clothing, safety, etc. But we also need to ensure our children are saved, they're growing spiritually, and they're learning how to serve. And by the way, if your kids are able to help out on a bus route or go out soul winning, let them do that. Let them develop a heart for others right now, because selfishness is not only natural for children, it's natural in all of us. It's natural in all of us. So learning to live for other people, learning to care for other people is going to help them dramatically in their Christian life. And you're going to benefit from it. The responsibility of parenting is massive and requires support. I need help. You need help. We need a village. I'd like to share two thoughts. Not many, okay? Just two. Two thoughts about our village church that we can marinate our minds and our hearts with. Man, when I say that word marinate, I think about food, man. I think about dinner. Number one, our church, our village church, helps with the now. It helps with the what? The now. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Realize the church isn't just for us. This church isn't just for Charlie Chim and Leslie Chim. This church is also for my children. And boy, is it for my children. Every Saturday, my kids, they get to go out with my niece and, and Oscar and Seth, and they're going to go on the bus route, and Brother George. Man, praise the Lord for that. I couldn't do that on my own. Maybe I should be able to, but thank God I don't have to. And the sooner you realize that there are so many benefits waiting for you at Pacific Baptist Church, more than just a padded pew chair, the more you're going to benefit. Amen. The more you're going to benefit. The term perfecting means equipping, maturing, or preparing. God has equipped our church with ministry workers to come alongside us as parents to equip and prepare our children through biblical truths and ministry opportunities. It takes a village. You know how my children are going to have a heart for God and make a difference in this world for Christ? I would like to say, because I'm going to train them right in my home, I would love to say that, and I have a responsibility and a duty to do that with my wife, but I'm thankful I don't have to do it alone. I'm thankful they have church activities, youth activities, camps, and youth conferences, and other, and they get to come to prayer meeting and bus routes, rest home ministries. Thank God for that. They are being builded. They are being edified. They're being perfected. They're maturing in their faith because of the ministries of our church here. Thank the Lord for that. Criticizing the church and its workers undermine their role and could weaken their influence on our child's spiritual growth, which ultimately hurts who? Me. It hurts me. If I'm criticized, taking shots at the teacher or the youth pastor or the pastor because of this, because of that, or the other, good night. I'm hurting myself. Right. They are on my team. They're here to help me. Right. What benefit would I have to tear down a Seth or an Oscar? By the way, I appreciate Oscar. Man, you were here like there's 24 hours in a day. He's probably here 25 hours a day during fine arts. Amazing. Thank you for that. As a volunteer, praise the Lord, at least I hope it's a volunteer, because I didn't know you got paid. If you got paid, I'm going to take that back, right? Next year, imagine the confusion in our child's mind when they hear criticism about the various people that invest in them. Imagine the confusion. But if I decided to criticize, I don't know where they're at, Seth and Oscar, I think Oscar's up there. If I, you know what, man, Oscar, they just keep you out too long. Coming on at 2:30, 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Man, don't they know you're just a teenager? What's the matter with those? Because they're single. That's why. They don't have any kids. They don't know what it's like to have a Saturday to just sit down and watch TV. I'm glad they don't know what that's like. But if I'm just tearing away at them, my son, the wheels are going to be spinning. And I'm going to limit the effect that a Seth and an Oscar is going to have on my son. Foolish. Foolish. Don't do it. Instead, decide to team up with our village church. Sadly, some parents are too busy teaming up with what? iPads and video games and Hollywood and worldly pursuits and worldly desires instead of taking advantage of all that God has for us through this village that God has strategically assembled here at Pacific Baptist Church. Team up with our village by living right. Here's the deal. Our church benefits when we add to the culture around here. The culture of PBC has always been wonderful because people actually look forward to the preaching. I'm thankful for that. Don't change it. Add to that culture. They're not talking during the sermon. Come on. Folks, it's not going to get any better, so just help me out here, okay? Or on their phones during the sermon, playing bubble pop or Scrabble or whatever it is. By the way, if you're let me say this. If you have your phone out as you're pulling out the Bible app right now, okay? I've only got one thing to say. I'm not talking about right now. Okay? You could have your phone out right now, okay? Play bubble pop. But when pastor's preaching, when a man of God's preaching like pastor, something is wrong with the soul. Something is wrong with the heart. Can I get another amen on there on that one? Something has to be wrong. You're coming in the house of God. The opportunity you have to combat against the sins of this world, all the temptation that you deal with, and you're, instead of opening up the Word of God and listening to Pastor Myers, you're sitting there playing bubble pop or your phone or Scrabble or whatever. Something's got to be wrong, and the sad thing is some of your kids are watching you. Oh, man. Some of your kids are watching you. Don't do that. Don't do that. I promise you, 10 more minutes, I'm done, okay? Children are trained to pay attention, not to be a distraction. By the way, I think everybody in here, when we come to church, we want to hear the Word of God preached. And when you hear children talking and messing around and running around, it bothers us. It bothers us. And pastors mentioned in our meetings, don't let your kids go out to the restroom in the middle of the sermon and stuff like that. It distracts them. Prepare for that ahead of time. There aren't 50 opinions about music or dress. When we allow the pastor to lead us, we'll be all right. One more time. When we allow the pastor to lead us, we'll be all right. We have a staff meeting every week, and that staff meeting is not optional, and it's not, I don't know what you call it, but it's not a time where we get to raise our hand and tell pastor what we agree with and what we don't agree with. He has an agenda, and we just go through it, and he informs us of what he wants us to do or do better, and we go with it. And by the way, the church is strengthened and stronger when we decide as staff to follow this one person. There aren't 20 heads here. Next year, pastor preaches on modesty. Let's go with it. Pastor preaches on the danger of contemporary Christian music. Let's go with it. And by the way, he often says that he can't sing. I'm telling you right now, I'm not saying that he's being dishonest, but he's not telling the truth. I used to have an office right next to him. He's got this vibrato. I can't explain it. I can't do it. I can't do it. That vibe, like maybe he's an opera singer or something. I don't know. But he's got a really good voice. It's not a mystery. It shouldn't be a mystery that all of his children can sing really well, okay? Come on now. Have a personal relationship with God. By the way, that's the culture around here. People are walking with the Lord. And let me say this. When you walk with the Lord, when I walk with the Lord, our church family is strengthened. When we don't have besetting sin, a bunch of men, and we don't have this, but men flirting with people that aren't their wives or vice versa, the church culture is pretty good. The church strength is pretty good. When we don't have a bunch of teenagers and singles and married people that are, I don't have my phone, my wife has my phone, that are looking at bad things on their phone, I'm going to stand over here and say it. Well, we got kids in here. Bad things on their phone. You know, one thing I mentioned to the kids today. Was that chapel message okay, boys? All right. Because when I mentioned, and by the way, the principal, yes, so you might want to pull your kids out if you're not comfortable with the principal preaching on sin, okay? But I told them, I said, hey, guys, just be careful what we're watching, what we're doing, because there's a lot of things that I don't necessarily mind being called cheater, a liar, which I don't want to be called any of those things, but here's my point. Cheater, liar, angry, whatever. And those aren't nice things. But the one thing I definitely don't want to be called, you ready for this? I would never want to be called a pervert. I would never want to be called a pervert. So because I don't want to be called a pervert, I'm going to guard my eyes. Because I don't want to be called a pervert, I don't want to sit there and look at things that I shouldn't look at that would lead me to being a pervert. I don't want that. And by the way, the ladies that were looking, wow, thank you, Brother Jim. Where's your thank you now? Come on, get it. Say amen, lady. Come on. Just kidding. Just kidding. Next year, our village church is stronger when our families are more committed to God. Our village church is stronger when there is less secret sin in the church. Serve the Lord through ministry in this village. You strengthen our church when you are on a bus ride with your family. You strengthen our church when you go Tuesday night, soul winning is starting March 25th, I believe. You ought to be here. That's a command from God. It's not optional. Soul winning is not optional. I'm smiling because I don't know how someone could think it is optional. People are dying to go to hell. You were dying to go to hell. Someone shared the gospel with you. It wouldn't be a bad idea to come with your family. Tell your kids, we're not watching the sitcom today. We're having dinner early. We're going to church. Serve the Lord through ministry. And by the way, when you serve the Lord through ministry in this church, let's serve reliably. I remember one time Miss Mary sent out an email or text or something to the nursery workers because they're coming in late. And by the way, I hope it's not happening anymore. But I can imagine. That's tough. That's tough. I remember, made sure. I said, honey, we are not going to be late. That's not going to happen. I don't want to be a stumbling block to somebody coming in this service and joining our church service because my wife is late to nursery. I don't want that to happen. By the way, imagine how beautiful our church will continue to be if we all took serious our ministry opportunities. Amen. Whether if it's a Sunday school class or Patch the Pirate or choir, whatever ministry there are that you're in. Serve wholeheartedly, not half-heartedly. Amen. Team up with our village by not having your own agenda. Pastor made it very clear. I'll just repeat this. He said this the last time he preached, I think. Listen, the style of our church or the mood of our church, if you agree with something, you say amen like these two boys. I appreciate that. Amen. We don't clap. By the way, I wouldn't want it, not that I'm ever going to sing a solo, okay? But one reason why I'm not really, I'll say it, for clapping is because this is not a performance. I'm not here to impress any of you. As a matter of fact, I see some of the faces. I'm probably making you mad, okay? That's fine. I ate dinner already, okay? Here's the deal. I'm not here to be a performance. I'm here to be a blessing. I'm here to be a blessing. You know, I tell my son the other day, he's up there, I think. I said, you know, because he was preaching for fine arts, I said, you know, I'll be honest with you, Daddy still gets nervous. But one thing that helps Daddy not get nervous, today I did in my office. I went in my office, and I said, Lord, good night. I'm nervous. I start to see people's faces. I get nervous. But at the end of the day, I know you have me doing this. You called me to do this. Help me not to get intimidated by the looks. Help me not to get nervous. Help me just to understand I've got to be able to preach with liberty. They heard me. Andy, I think, why did you say liberty, Dad? Because that's what I want to preach with, liberty. Next year. The message is clear. My family, your family needs a village. We need this village. Number two, and I'm done. Our village church helps with the future. This is a family's multi-generational vision. God's intention for Christianity is that one generation can pass down faith, ready for this, to the next generation. It's not supposed to stop. Amen. It's not supposed to stop. Psalm 145:4 says, one generation shall praise thy works to another and shall declare thy mighty acts. The reality check is this. God doesn't just want you saved or me saved. He wants our whole family saved. Amen. This is called generational Christianity or multi-generational Christianity. Far too often, generational Christianity does not occur in our homes. It fades in some cases, rather quickly. Our children see what matters most to us. They know church doesn't matter. Ministry does not matter. The Bible does not matter. When materialism is a priority, generational Christianity fades. When there is hypocrisy in the home, you read your Bible. I don't need to read my Bible. You read your Bible. It fades. When walking with God is not exemplified, I like that word, exemplified, or emphasized in the home, it fades. Generational Christianity is more than just head knowledge. It also needs heart knowledge. Lee Robertson said, Christianity is always one generation away from extinction. Christianity is always one generation away from extinction. It is our duty to pass it on. You know, my kids know more about the Bible than I've ever known when I was their age. I remember Benji. I use a Bible app to do my reading now because the lights helped me. I was going to use it. It's just harder. Anyhow, he was doing a Bible. One of the Bible apps has like a quiz on there, and he wanted to do it. You in here? Yeah. He wanted to do it. He was answering so many questions. I was like, what? How in the world does he do this? I mean, I know those answers too, son. What was the answer? But you know what that speaks to? The fact that he grew up in a Christian home, which is good. But here's the deal. That's all just up here. Just head knowledge. My goal as a parent is to get it from here to here. Because a lot of people have it up here. Man, 12 disciples or this, and the first miracle that Jesus did was turning water to wine. Okay, wonderful. Okay, the 12 tribes of Israel. Big difference. Big difference. I don't want my children just to know of God. I want them to know God personally, and in my conclusion is this, and I'm done. For those of us involved in ministry, the expectation is that our children will be serving tomorrow. What I mean tomorrow is the future, at the same or greater capacity than we are serving today. And I really hope so. As a principal, teacher, whatever, I hope my kids do way more than that. That's the goal. But sadly, there's a disconnect in a lot of homes. It doesn't happen because it sticks up here. It doesn't transfer to down here. It doesn't transfer to. We need the village church to help make sure it transfers. Transfer complete, right? We need to make sure that happens. Last thought is this. What if God can give you a glimpse into your future? That's kind of scary. I mean, if I had a wonderful future, I wouldn't mind looking at it. But if God can give me a glimpse into my future, but it was negative because Leslie and Charlie were a little selfish in their lives and doing their own dumb, sinful things, man, that'd be a little scary. I'm imagining, I'm a principal, I'm an assistant pastor, I'm a Sunday school teacher, and I love my ministry, sort of. But then I look into the future. All right, is CJ preaching behind a pulpit? Is Andy, is Audrey, what are they doing? Oh, man, come on, I know they're doing something great for God. And yet, God is nowhere in the picture. By the way, that's a sobering thought because we all love our children. We all love our children. Love your children enough to let that thought hurt you and burn you and motivate you to make a difference now. And realize that you don't have to do it alone. If you are trying to do it alone, foolish. If there's a summer camp or a winter camp or a youth conference that your kids aren't part of and they're in a youth group, foolish. They're not going, foolish. If we have a Christian school and you're not part, foolish. If you have a pastor that preaches Sunday morning, Sunday school, Sunday night, Thursday, and you're not allowing you're not coming with your family, foolish. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, I pray you bless us now, Lord. Help us as we go our separate ways, Lord, to continue to understand church is a lot more than just mere membership. Oh, man, Pacific Baptist Church is so solid. I've been here coming up in May here, 30 years. I've benefited so much. Charlie Chim is here by the grace of God because of all the leaders that have invested in me. Real quick, as a teenager, I remember I didn't have a Christian home, didn't have anywhere to go. After a lot of my games, hung out with Pastor Myers, Brother Myers then. I'm not foolish to think, Lord, that is not one reason why I'm still here. This church has so much to offer, but the sad thing is many people just want to poke their heads in every now and then and absorb what they want to, when in reality they can get so much more from their membership here. We love you. Bless us now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.